Welcome to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard weekly at this time on 1450 AM and 107.1 FM. Today's guest is Dr. Carolyn Masters, Associate Teaching Professor of Nursing at Penn State Erie, the Barron College.
Welcome to Barron Talks. My guest today is Dr. Carolyn Masters. Welcome here, Carolyn. How are you today?
Great. How are you? Good morning.
Well, good morning. You are a faculty member in our nursing school here at Penn State Barron. The official title is Associate Teaching Professor of Nursing. I'll talk a little bit about your credentials, PhD in nursing from Duquesne, as well as nursing degrees from both Edinburgh and Carlo University. So why don't you tell us a little bit about how did you end up here at Penn State Barron? Tell us about yourself.
So a little bit about myself. So first of all, a little bit about my background. I've been in nursing and higher education for just a few years, 35 plus years.
Just a few.
Been in higher ed for quite a while, but also administration. But I've been here now at Barron for about 2.5 years, teaching all through the 4 years of the BSN program.
Well, I'm happy to say we're very glad that you're here that you have joined us. Well, there's a lot to talk about in terms of the nursing field, nursing education. It's pretty fascinating. But one thing that I hear everywhere I go, in fact, I was in Rochester last week talking to the head of an HR system, mm-hmm. Penn State graduate, by the way. We haven't even had that discussion yet. And she said she'll hire our entire class. She oversees one system up there in Rochester. So tell us what's going on.
So nursing is one of those fields. Healthcare in general is a really growing field, but nursing is in great demand, especially BSN prepared nurses. Healthcare, the land of healthcare is really changing. It's growing. We see that there is an aging population. People are living longer, which is wonderful, but they also tend to have more disease, disabilities,
sure.
So it really requires more demand then for highly prepared, highly educated nurses to be able to work in acute care, work in the community, work with health promotion. So we're seeing that nursing itself is changing. There is greater demand for nurses to be able to think critically, be very astute using technology, mm-hmm. Be able to respond quickly. So we're seeing that demand on nurses, but we're also seeing the demand for nurses
mm-hmm.
because of the changing field and because we're an aging society,
sure.
So we're seeing more
people are living longer. The baby boomers are all retiring.
And that means those baby boomers who are in nursing, they're retiring. So we have a greater need there. So
what I thought I heard you say there is nurses are taking on a larger role, though, in the healthcare system.
They are. They really are. It used to be really thought that, okay, nurses would come out and they'd work in a hospital setting, acute care. That's true to still a certain degree. There's many great opportunities for nurses in the healthcare setting in a hospital, but there is so much more. Several years ago, I had a great opportunity to work with the United States Air Force down at Randolph Air Force Base. And there I really learned so much about utilizing and employing nurses, both military and civilian, to work with engineers, to work with physicians mm-hmm. In the biomedical field of prosthetics and so forth and research. So it's just limitless as far as what nurses can, will, and should do.
Sure.
Moving forward.
Well, one of the things that I like to see here on campus is definitely people like yourself. You have your own area of research that you're focusing
yes.
on, and I think you're looking at women's addiction and related issues, which is obviously a big issue right now with what's going on in the country and the opioid crisis.
It is. So it's kind of twofold. So one area I'm very interested in, and that is what I've done some research and publication in, is women in addiction. And I'm very interested, as you said, with this whole opioid crisis that we are seeing. Nurses need to really take a role in not just dealing with what we have and helping individuals in recovery, but we need to be more proactive and working together closely with our healthcare colleagues to mm-hmm. prevent this. What is it that we need to do to be assessing better, to be more proactive and not just prescribing? So there is so much there. And I teach a course here on Barron's campus, drugs of abuse. Mm-hmm. And so and it's open to all students, and I'm averaging around 25 to 30 students in that class. And I talk to them a lot about enlightening them about the disease component of addiction. And then what is our role as providers in that field? The other thing that I've worked on research-wise is interdisciplinary professional type of research, pulling together the various disciplines to focus on how do we better treat, manage patient care. So it isn't just about nursing, it is about how do we work together collaboratively mm-hmm. with other disciplines.
No, it's fascinating. And the thing too about opioid is I know there's a big push on not prescribing them as much, and there are controls on them and the like, but you know, I just want to ask, the thing too is, do most families even know that someone in their family has an addiction, or is it a well-hidden thing?
So
how do you help people figure that out?
How do you know? So I think a lot of times families know internally, mm-hmm. but it's recognizing and admitting that this disease is there. And addiction is a disease.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I feel it's so important for us to know what it's about, so we can work with family members in how do you assess for that? How do you identify when someone is, you know, down that slippery slope of addiction? And then what are the available resources in our community? How do we do an effective intervention? How do we intervene? What resources are out there? And I think that together collaboratively, we can really change this crisis that we're facing with opioid addiction.
Well, I want to go back a little bit to earlier part of our discussion, and that was about the demand for nurses. But one of the things that I want you to help me demystify is there's LPN, there's RN,
yes.
There are a lot of different degree paths. To get to the here, can you just explain how do you put this in layman's terms?
Yes, so that's something with our profession that's always been a little bit challenging, is that we do have so many levels of education and preparation, LPN, associate degree, baccalaureate degree, master's degree. And there is a need for various levels. An LPN is more of a 9 month to 1 year type of program that's very much trained in skills, type of response. But in our healthcare arena today, and we just talked briefly about this, it's growing and the demands are out there. You need nurses who are baccalaureate prepared, who have that full rounded 4 year degree of general education courses along with the professional nursing courses to help them be critical thinkers, to make better clinical judgments, to be leaders. So that's where you get the baccalaureate. It's actually a bachelor's of science in nursing. Mm-hmm. That is a 4 year degree. So it is a much more robust to help them be better prepared for the challenges.
Yeah, and it does seem to me that is becoming, quote, I'll say the, quote, industry standard, right? That is what everybody
yes.
is starting to require.
It is, and Penn State's College of Nursing has moved to that. That is they have moved to strictly baccalaureate and higher degree. And many of our hospitals, I know in our area, magnet status.
Mm-hmm.
Magnet status is a national certification recognition for hospitals, recognizing professional nursing care, outstanding patient outcomes, and that requires baccalaureate. They want 75% of your nursing staff or greater to have a bachelor's of science in nursing, because they know that bachelor's prepared nurses have greater patient outcomes and less mortality.
Yeah, and as you said here at Penn State, we have moved to Just that is the bachelor's degree. And I think that has attracted far more students. And we'll get back to that in the next segment. But before we do, just talk a little bit about, so you get that degree in your bachelor's degree in nursing. But within that, there are a whole lot of specialties or different areas that people can go into. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes. So the Bachelor's of Science in Nursing really is the entry into practice. And that opens your door for so many different opportunities. You can work in acute care, you can work in long-term care, community health, whatever areas. And then a student with a bachelor's degree can move forward and get certifications in specialty areas. So for instance, emergency nursing. Mm-hmm. Given that you get out, you graduate, you pass your boards, you get your position in the ED, then you can go on and sit for a certifying exam. But that bachelor's degree really helps prepare you for a variety of opportunities and certifications.
Yeah, the bachelor's degree is the gateway. And as you said, you get a general education, the whole nine yards that you would expect in a Penn State degree. What's also struck me is, I look right here at UPMC, Hammett, and who's the CEO? A nurse, right?
Absolutely.
So it seems to me that nurses are running the healthcare system.
And I'm a little biased, but I think they should. What can I say? But it is. There are so many opportunities. It's not just, with your bachelor's degree, the opportunities that exist there, but you move on, you move forward. You look at opportunities to go into graduate school. You can get a great gig like I have, being mm-hmm. a nurse educator.
Mm-hmm.
So many great opportunities, or administrator. Nurses have so much right there.
Well, I'll tell you, I think it's a certain mindset. By the way, my sister's a nurse. She's had a lot of different opportunities and been able to, move through different, really to fit what she needed at different points in her life when she was having a child, or she felt like doing home duty nursing. Now she's a nurse in a school. So it's just been a great career for her. But I find, nurses are very diligent. You take your job seriously, as you should.
And we should. Mm. We have patients' lives in our hands, really. We are that first line that's there. We're that first person at the bedside. We need to notice subtle changes. We need to be their advocate. We need to be their champion. So it's a lot of responsibility, but a lot of reward with it as well. We see patients at the best of times and at the worst of times.
Yeah.
And we're the ones who make the greatest impact on really those outcomes.
Now you are the person who is there more often than the doctors or anybody else with those patients.
Yes.
Let's talk a bit about this thing called the NCLEX exam.
NCLEX.
So you have to pass an exam to become a nurse. Tell us what this is all about.
So your bachelor's degree helps to prepare you educationally, but when you graduate, all nurses must take a national certifying licensure examination. It does help to solidify and verify that a nurse is prepared as entry into practice to provide safe, effective patient care. So it validates that, and then they are given that license. It also is a testament to how well prepared that student is, how mm-hmm. well prepared that individual, that graduate is. And so to me, it also is a testament then to the curriculum, to the faculty, to the experiences that that student has had that really has helped prepare them to be an RN, to get that license. And I'm just going to use this opportunity to do a little bit of bragging.
Go ahead, please.
You're
brag
okay
about our program.
Good,
if you didn't, I was going to.
So if you look at some of the stats, I believe in Pennsylvania, the NCLEX pass rate is around 90% or so. Penn State Barron's pass rate is 97%. That's pretty darn good I don't mind saying so. So
no, you should be proud, in all of our faculty as well. It's a great number, and we've been above the national average since the inception of the program, and we're going to keep it there. We have very high standards. It's not easy to get into our program.
It's not easy to get into our program. It's not easy. I don't want to scare people to stay in there,
yep.
But they have to. As we said earlier, they have a lot of responsibility, And our students work very hard. And if you look at the College of Nursing, their stats say that our average grade point average for our nursing students is somewhere around a 3.7. They need to be smart, astute, and caring.
Which is well above the average of any student here. You know, that's probably typical across a lot of institutions. Well, let me go back to, I just want to ask a little more about the NCLEX. Is it just exam? And is it a written exam? Is there a practical experience? So how does...
It really is just, I say that. It is a computerized test, and it used to be much more of a multiple choice type, and anymore. It is more adaptive and much more intense of an exam. The students apply, they're given a specific date to take the exam, mm-hmm. and then they go to a computer testing center. It's one day. If they're not successful on their first attempt, they are allowed to retake it again in 30 days. But again, that's where I feel Barron has really succeeded. That pass rate was our first attempt students. They're doing well. And our graduating class we just had in May, so far, over 50% of the students have taken the exam, and all of them have passed, so we're on a roll.
We are on a roll. So yes. I'll say it again, 97%, well above the national average
of
90%. Once a student, though, so let's think about students who may want to come in, but they have to keep up to date with continuing education and the like. What's the requirements once you're out there in the field?
The requirements, every state's a little bit different. In Pennsylvania, it's 30 continuing education credits every 2 years. But really what we do with ours is part of the mission of the College of Nursing is that we instill lifelong learning into students. So it isn't just looking at that check, you know, box of how many credits do I have to take. Mm-hmm. But in healthcare, it changes so much that we instill in them the need to continuously embrace learning, take advantage of continuing education, take advantage of professional development opportunities, look at going on for your, you know, master's degree. So you want in a field like ours for those students to keep going on. Learning never stops just because you've received your degree, right? We all know that in all professions. Yeah. So we really want them to keep on top of all the changes that are out there so that they are able to provide the best possible care to their patients.
We hear lifelong learning all the time, but it's the reality. That's what it takes if you're just going to maintain and grow in your career. There's no way around it. Well, let's talk a bit about the nursing curriculum at Barron. You know, tell me a little bit, like, so a student comes here, what can they expect to study? What are the different elements inside of the curriculum?
So some of the things, again, bragging about our program that I really feel helps make us a little more unique. Students are admitted directly into the nursing degree. Some schools have it where they have to come in and spend 2 years, and then they are then admitted into nursing, or they start their professional nursing courses their junior year. Here at Barron, students are admitted right into the program. That's really important for a couple reasons. One, they feel part of that community. They are engaged. They are connected. Mm-hmm. A student who is engaged and connected is a retained student. We want to keep those students in that program, to know them, to get to know them individually, to provide them the support. The other thing is then they are assigned a nursing faculty as their advisor. So that means we are able to help continuously guide them through that program and, again, get to know them. In their sophomore year, freshman year, it's basic sciences, some freshman seminar that introduces them to the profession of nursing. But in their sophomore year, they start their clinicals. They have health assessment. They have other courses, fundamentals, that actually start those students getting into usually into long-term care, usually in the beginning with more healthy adults, then looking at adults with chronic illnesses. But it's helping those students get integrated into the profession, learning some basic communication skills, assessment skills. Then when they get into their junior year and then in throughout their senior year, they will rotate through the various specialties, pediatrics, labor delivery, medical surgical nursing, higher level medical surgical acute care nursing, mental health, community. And then what really is nice with our program is it culminates in what we call the senior capstone, where our students are assigned with a preceptor in the various healthcare facilities, mm-hmm. and they spend whatever schedule that preceptor has. So it might be days, evenings, nights, it might be an 8-hour shift, 12-hour shift, but what that's helping them is bridge into professional life. So taking them from that role, the student, but helping them understand more of what is the role of the nurse, what is a day like in the life of a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's very powerful with that senior capstone.
So one of the things that you said was the clinic, clinical starts in the second year?
Yes, it does.
And so that means yes. They're out there working in a real environment in their second year.
Exactly. Because really research shows, but we also know as nurses, that the more hands-on experience that they're able to obtain, the greater confidence, the better skill set they'll mm-hmm. have, communication skills, critical thinking skills. So they need that constant interaction and hands-on experience. And I really like that about our program, that they have that opportunity. So now they've got 3 years worth of clinical experiences.
Yeah. And simulation has taken on a large role. You know, we've had simulation labs for some time, but we did a great upgrade this last year, almost $1 million, thanks to the generosity of Herzl Foundation and others. It's impressive. But can you talk about, you know, what's the role of simulation and how does that help prepare them?
So that is something that I've been a big champion of for many years, is the power of simulation. Having been an educator for some time, I know how important it is for students to have various experiences. But we're not always able to call up, if you want to say, or create a situation in a hospital, nor do we want to, with, you know, live patients. So simulation really helps that student, again, have these experiences to develop the skill set that they need as entry-level nurses. So in our simulation lab, it's phenomenal, by the way, and yes, I do want to really thank you for that opportunity of having these labs, but it really looks like a healthcare setting, a hospital mm-hmm. setting. So first of all, you have that environment. Then you have anywhere from mid to high fidelity simulators that we're able to program and have the simulators run through various scenarios. We have simulators that go across the lifespan, from a newborn to a child to an adult. We even have one that is a female simulator who goes through a delivery, who can go through a natural childbirth scenario, and it can be a normal childbirth scenario, or we're able to create a situation where there is a situation that may not have as positive an outcome. Maybe mm-hmm. there's a shoulder dystocia or an emergency situation that our students are then able to think on their feet as to what would they do, what should they do. And then it's in a controlled environment.
Yep.
So
they can learn and they get feedback.
Exactly. And if the outcome of the patient, perhaps, you know, with the simulator isn't as positive, we're able to help them walk through that and understand what can we do next time that will even make it better? What should you be doing? And then that's the powerful part of simulation, is what we call debriefing. Afterwards, again, in a safe environment, we never say, oh, you should have, or yeah. you didn't do this right. We ask them to critique their own behavior. How do you think you did? And then where there is faculty to help guide them to say, okay, next time perhaps you should do
something differently.
Right.
It's painful for them to hear that. Just one last thing about the simulation. How do the students react when they get to see, you record it. Do they like seeing themselves?
It's a little intimidating. In fact, the whole process sometimes is, but it's really amazing. With simulation is sometimes they'll kind of come in looking like, okay, we're going to be working with those mannequins, but all of a sudden they get caught up in it and you see that they start suspending, you know, reality, and they get in there and they start,
becomes very real.
Yeah, it becomes very real to them. And they have told me that, where they start sweating and, you know, they feel all of that. And I'm like, good, because that's real life. We've all gone through that. Then we play it back and they're like groaning, oh my gosh, that's what I did. But instead it's about, how do we help them learn through that? okay, you may
put yourself aside.
Right. Put yourself aside and look at what is going on here. What were the ABCs? What are the priorities of care here? And we always focus on what did you really do well? What did you do good? Mm-hmm. And then perhaps next time, what can you improve? So when they're looking at that video recording, you know, at first it is,
Second or third time, they've moved on probably.
Right. And their peers help. They're really collegial in nursing. They're very tight. Our students especially.
I've been to the pinning ceremony. I've seen it. They're a really close-knit group. As you said earlier, by the time they leave here, all of the nursing students, they are very close-knit.
And that is nurses in general are a very close-knit group. But here, our students really bond.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that has surprised me as well about the nursing program, and I don't know if you know this. First of all, we know, quote unquote, it's challenging. That's good. Challenges are good in life. They make you better. But when we look at our athletics programs, do you know what the largest number of students, highest percentage, are nursing students who, so while we call it a challenging major, we have more nurses in our athletics programs than any other students.
I had the pleasure of being invited to the dinner just this past spring, and it just made me feel so good to see how many of them really have found that work-life balance and excel in everything they do.
Well, I'll tell you, the athletics programs here at Barron, as you know, I'm a big advocate and supporter, and because we really are scholar athletes here, and scholar comes first, but it builds so much discipline, and in fact, the data shows that they probably do better on average than the other students, so their GPAs are higher.
So
that's maybe not too surprising. I wanted to hit this too. You know, so a lot of times we think about traditional students, but nursing is also can be a career change field. So somebody who's out there maybe has a bachelor's degree or associate's, can they come back and study nursing?
They can. So there are many programs out there that are called second degree programs, but here at Barron, we work with the student. If they've been in another discipline, we will look at their transcripts, we'll work with them to see how we can bring them into our program, giving them as much credit as possible for what they have accomplished. And yes, then they do. And we've had several students who are non-traditional adult students.
I've seen them come from different, you know, like manufacturing. They've decided it's time for a career change. They know that this is a stable, good career path for them.
Right? It is. And that is a good point. It's just that it's also about caring. And so we have to work with them sometimes that yes, it is a great career path, but it is also about really giving of oneself and about caring. And
empathy,
so
empathy,
sympathy, we work through that. And so we help, and that's because they work closely with faculty who will model those attributes.
Well, we are coming to the close of our time, so I will give you a few minutes. Anything else that you would like to add? Anything you want to add to our discussion today?
I greatly appreciate this opportunity to be here with you today, because I think it's so important people understand more about nursing. And one of the things we talked a lot about was pronoun she, her, whatever. This is also a very valid career for men.
I was going to bring that up. I had that. We didn't quite get to that.
We didn't quite get to it.
Yeah, but I see increasing number of men in the...
More and more. I think Barron's program, we're running right around 14% male, which that's great. That's greater than the national average. And we need to see that. So it is, yes, it's probably still more female dominated, but great opportunities. And our students, they've done awesome with it. So...
Absolutely. Well, I think I've learned a lot today, and I hope our audience has.
I hope so.
Well, thank you. You've been a great guest. Our guest today has been Dr. Carolyn Masters, and we have learned a lot today. Greatly appreciated. You are listening to Barron Talks. I'm Dr. Ralph Ford. This is AM 1450, FM 107.1, Money Radio.
Thanks for listening to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Join us again on Saturday morning at 9:30 a.m. for an encore presentation of the Business Spotlight.